The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. The sermon title is, "How long, Lord? How long?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many parts to the story of the first Christmas. In our gospel, for the fourth Sunday in Advent, the evangelist Matthew tells us Joseph's side of the Christmas story. As many of you know, I've become a father three times. So I can relate, although it's been a long time ago now, to Joseph's anxiety before the first Christmas. A first-time father worries, will everything be ready when the newborn arrives? Well, I can give this advice. No, not everything will be ready. 9 months is not enough time for everything. Stick to the basics. Dad, like a separate room for the baby, if possible, a crib with its pads and linens, a changing table, a chest of drawers for the clothes, in the 21st century, a baby monitor so you can hear the baby when he or she cries, and the most important invention of the 20th century, the later 20th century, you better have this, the diaper genie. Well, the older folks didn't get that one, but the younger ones know. Let mom worry about the rest of it, Dad. Well, Joseph had to take care of the first century equivalent of all this stuff. Plus, he had to deal with the very difficult situation of not expecting to be expecting. You see, Mary did not tell Joseph ahead of time, as far as we can tell. Look at Matthew 1:18 in our gospel. Carefully, it says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child with the Holy Spirit. That means that somebody found out that Mary was going to have a child before she told Joseph. And whoever that was told Joseph, uh-oh, not a good thing. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. He had not had sex relations with Mary, as the gospel clearly says. It's foretold in Isaiah. He had not talked with Mary about his discovery. He thought he knew for sure that Mary had conceived this child by another father. Well, in a sense, this is true, because Jesus was conceived by his heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. It's the same one to whom we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven." In any event, the child was not Joseph's. The right thing to do was to have Mary take a trip to her relatives, where she would have the baby and then put it up for adoption. Joseph would then divorce from Mary legally, and she would be available to wed another man or fend for herself as best as she could. And that was the most lenient course of action. And if you look at the wording of the text, he is going between what he wants to do and what the law says he must do and the things that are the right thing to do. This is all going on in his head. Now, I wonder why Joseph did not talk to Mary about their problem. After all, it was their problem, not just his. I think it was because as soon as he found out about the baby, he had written Mary off in his own mind. He probably thought, well, if Mary did that, then I can't trust her with anything. I can't trust a word she says. Why should I talk to her? I'll make up my own mind on this. Well, husbands, please learn from Joseph's mistake that any problem you have in life is not just your problem. It is a problem for both of you to solve together. Two minds are better than one, they say. You see, this two minds feature of marriage was created by God for your benefit. It's an added plus. Maybe it's the main thing. Remember Joseph's mistake and listen to your wives. Now, that doesn't mean you should obey your wife. That's a reversal of God's order. But you do need to listen to her, and that is God's order. Well, Joseph was being a typically obtuse, non-communicative husband, and while he was deciding on his own what to do, the real father stepped in And God the Father sent a messenger angel to Joseph and said, stop! Don't send Mary away. Don't divorce her. The baby is God's child, and he needs a human father to protect, care, and nurture him here on this earth. When he is born, you need to call him Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Joseph obeyed God, talked to Mary, and the two began to make plans for the baby and their new life together. A first century Jew, hearing the announcement of the angel, would know what it meant. Now, you and I are Gentiles. We've already talked about this in Bible class, and I think only one of you has very, very distant Jewish ancestry. So we might miss the significance. And because of this, the evangelist Matthew throws in an Old Testament text into the narrative to explain what's going on here. It is a reference to our Old Testament lesson today, Isaiah 7:10 to 17. The story there in the Old Testament has parallels. It goes like this. King Ahaz of Judea was being a typically obtuse, non-communicative king. Now, as a king of the people of Israel, who are God's people, his job was to seek God's counsel through the prophets on a regular basis. When there was a prophet in town, the king was supposed to consult with him, as well as the king was supposed to offer up prayers on the people's behalf and also through the prophet. But King Ahaz thought he had everything figured out. He was a modern king, after all. He had his cabinet of advisors trained in the arts of war, commerce, agriculture, etc. He didn't need the counsel of a bunch of dusty old prophets. And this attitude toward the prophets was common among the kings of Israel and Judah, and it got worse as the years went on, till eventually neither the king nor the people were listening to the prophets. After a couple of years of being ignored, the prophet Isaiah had had enough. He came before the king and politely asked him to seek God's counsel. The king refused, whereupon Isaiah said in so many words, okay, if you and your sons are going to ignore God's counsel, God is going to give you his words, commands, and promises anyway. Here is how you and your people will know that God's word has come. A virgin will conceive a child without a man and bear a son. He'll be given a name that means God's word has come among us. Excuse me. Let me have another drink. That's what that word means. From that day, the people of Israel and Judah who were believers looked forward to the coming of a child by a virgin birth whose name would mean God's word has come among us. No longer would the king seek the counsel of the prophets for the word of God. Instead, God would be walking among them and talking to them. Wait, God here on this earth? That's what Emmanuel means. God himself walking among and talking to his people. Wait, that's like the Garden of Eden. It was a wonderful vision and a hopeful sign. The only question that the Old Testament believers who heard this had was, how long, O Lord, how long until this happens? Well, they had to wait a long time, about 700 years. Believers today may also wonder, how long, O Lord, how long? Belief in God in general and the practice of religion is fading in Europe and North America. You look at the statistics, it's pretty clear. Christian morality is being overthrown in this country intentionally, even as I am speaking. Many churches are being corrupted from the inside out. People no longer seek the counsel of God from His Word. They have their expert advisors on everything, on TV, on the internet and social media, influencers, and in the universities. Who needs the dusty old Bible or the prophets and the apostles, they think? Well, this situation could get worse. And if Israel and Judah is an example, it will probably get worse. How long till Jesus returns? Nobody knows. Could be 7 days from now. Let's see, that would be Christmas Day 2022. Sounds like a nice day for me. That could be 7 years from now, 2029. Could be 700 years. We don't know. Now, it's already been 2,000 years more. Well, 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. So how much longer until He returns? All we can say is, how long, O Lord? How long? So since we don't know how long till Jesus returns, you and I simply need to constantly be ready for His return. It's like having in-laws from out of state who never announce when they're going to visit you. It means that your house is always in order, relatively clean, that you have a bed, blankets, towels, and an overnight kit ready for their visit at any time. And this is symbolic, of course. Joseph and Mary were ready for Jesus by the time He was born. Will you be ready when He returns? In Jesus' name, amen.